Let me invite you to take your Bibles and stand and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Gracious and loving Father, you've heard our testimony again this morning. We just want to thank you for the blessings you bestow upon us. Lord, that we would want to be like Jesus is a worthy thing. We ask, Father, that you would send us a double portion of your Holy Spirit this morning. Be with me as I bring the message, Lord. Open my heart, my understanding. Help me to speak clearly. And may this message bring comfort and peace to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to John's Gospel, John chapter 4. Here we find a beautiful story about a woman from Samaria. It's the woman at the well. And I'm sure that you are acquainted with that particular story. I'm going to lay my notes aside this morning. I want to share with you from God's Word and what's on my heart. Let's begin in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judah and departed again into Galilee. Now I want to put this story in context. Jesus was down there in Judah and he was preaching, teaching, working with the people of Israel. And, of course, Israel, the leaders in Israel, they took an offense to Jesus because there are, at times, he did not pay a lot of attention to their authority. So the leaders tried to cause a dispute between the disciples of John and the disciples of Jesus. If you look back in chapter 3, starting about verses 22... down through about 26. It says, this is verse 23. And John also was baptized in Hernon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about the purifying, and they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And down in chapter 4, we see that this thing is coming to a head, and Jesus don't want to have dispute between John and his disciples and his own disciples, so he decides that he's going to move up now to Galilee. Verse 3 says, he left Judah, and he departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. This is a wonderful story because it deals with the personal relationship that Jesus wants with individuals. Not only with individuals, he wants with people. Jesus was an evangelist at heart. And the Jewish nation, he called the Jewish nation to be a nation of evangelists. They were to go into all the world and share the good news about the Messiah. But they became very clandestine. They became very narrow-minded in their approach to their religion and the truth. In fact, they didn't share the truth with anyone. And when Jesus came, Instead of accepting it as the Messiah, they denied him. They tried to stone him. They tried to just about every trick in the book to destroy his credibility. So he leaves Judah now and he parts for Galilee, and the scripture says he must needs go through Samaria. The thing that Jesus promised us, or he promised his disciples, was the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that? You know what? When Jesus was on earth, he took on human form. He's covered his divinity with humanity. And all the things that he did because of his relationship with the Father and his prayer life. And the Father bestowed upon him the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit that was guiding him now into Samaria. Now, one of the things we're going to find out is that the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Jews had disdain for Samaritans. They did not like them. In fact, they disliked the Samaritans so much, if they wanted to go to Galilee, instead of going through Samaria, which was a direct route, they took the long trip down around the Jordan Valley just so they wouldn't have to go near the Samaritans. Just they hated them so much, they would not even ask them for a drink of water. So the Holy Spirit is guiding Jesus now to go through Samaria. Now, who was Jesus' disciples? Were they Samaritans or were they Jews? They were Jews. And you knew, and you know now, what the Jews think of the Samaritans. Now, who were the Samaritans? Tell me again.
Half-Jews.
How did they become half-Jews? Here's what happened. When the Jews was in captivity, they married outside the faith. Now, God was displeased with it. God says you marry within your own faith. But these Jews were disobedient to God, and they married outside the faith, and they had children. And when they were ready to leave out of captivity, God says they should put away their wives of idolatry. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think the Holy Spirit could have converted these women or these people they married, or men and women from these other nations? Why? Of course he could. In fact, that's why he called the Jewish nation, that they would be a nation of evangelists to go and tell them about Messiah was coming. But instead of working with their wives and their husbands and their children, they divorced them and ridded themselves of them, thinking now they were going to have a pure, clean line again. So it was with disdain that the Jews looked at the Samaritans. Now, follow me down in verse 5. Then cometh he, that's Jesus and his disciples, to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his sons, Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with the journey, set thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, it's about noon hour. Now I want you to use your sanctified imagination. Jesus is there at the well. Then verse 7 says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now, the Jews considered the Samaritans as outcasts. And here was a woman coming at noontime to draw water. Now, that's not the usual time to come and draw water. Usually, it was in the evening at the cool of the day. The women would come, and there they would have fellowship, and they would gossip. They would talk about the latest news. and they would take their water, and then they would go home. Later, the men would come, and they would bring the cattle in, and they would feed them, or they would give them drink from the well. But here was a woman. She was coming at noon hour in the heat of the day. Now, there's two things is happening. Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit, already he's sending prayers of thanks to his Father for his opportunity to witness. And the woman, she comes and she sees this Jewish man sitting there not far from the well, and she thinks, maybe I should run and leave getting my water. But the fear of having to come in the evening time when the other women were there was even worse than having to deal with that of a Jew. Maybe she thought the fact that he was a Jew, and because Jews had such disdain for the Samaritans, he wouldn't even speak to her. Besides, she's a woman. So here she is at the well. And Jesus says, give me a drink. Now listen to the dialogue. The disciples, verse 8 says, was gone away into the city. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Can you see that picture in your imagination? Instead, when Jesus talks to her, instead of looking past her, instead of looking at her with disdain, he speaks with compassion. He speaks with kindness to her. And her heart is moved. She stays there and carries on a conversation with them. In fact, she was bold enough to ask, why is it that you, a Jew, would ask me, a Samaritan, a woman, for a drink of water? Jesus is looking for his opportunity to witness to this lady. Folks, we can learn something from this morning. We can learn that we are to witness. You know, we go to the doctor's office. We go to the grocery store. We're at work. And we come in and we say, how are you today? We have this very frivolous little conversation. And that's about where it would have ended with the conversation between this woman and Jesus if Jesus had spoken sharply to her, or she would take an offense to the fact that he would speak to her. But somehow they were drawn together. And the reason they were drawn together, it was because Jesus spoke to her with kindness and compassion. Now, can you imagine what this woman must have been thinking when Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. You see, this woman, she was caught up with the affairs of life. And in order to take care of her physical needs, in order to take care of her thirst, she had to reach out to things. She needed that water. And because she was not only an outcast as far as the Jews were concerned, the very people in her community considered her an outcast. They hated her. So she came by herself at noon. But the water that she took home on her shoulders in that clay pot, it didn't last. maybe her husband and the family. I don't know, but the water was soon gone. And every day she would have to come back and bear the same burden day after day. And Jesus now is offering her living water. He's moving from the physical to deal with the spiritual. There's this paradigm shift. But she don't realize what's happening. The woman saith to him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then as thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall not thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He's switching it now from the physical to the spiritual. Sir, you have nothing to draw with. Folks, she's talking with Jesus. She's talking with Jesus. He's the Creator. He was in disguise in His humanity. It was Jesus who spoke the worlds into existence. It was Jesus who turned the little streams into rivers and the rivers into oceans. It was Jesus who spoke and the sea was calmed. It was Jesus who turned the water into wine. It was Jesus who caused the fish to go into the net. She didn't know it. Folks, he wasn't concerned about the physical water. He was concerned about the spiritual. And he could see, he knew that there was something wrong because she came to the well in the middle of the day when it was hot. And he knew that there was something wrong in her social life. Now follow the story. Down in verse 15. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Oh, she's thinking about the physical, but Jesus is dealing with the spiritual. And all of a sudden now, she's asking for this water that he wants to give, and it is his opportunity to witness to her. Oh, this is good stuff. Now look how the story changes. Jesus saith unto her, he wants to draw her out now. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truth, truly. Now what must have been like for this woman? All of a sudden she's standing there in the presence of a Jewish man. She did not understand that he was the Messiah, and her sins has been laid bare open to this Jew. And she was thinking, her mind was just racing 100 miles an hour. Who was it that betrayed me? Who would betray or say something to a Jewish man? That I have had this type of lifestyle. Do you know how hard it must be? You know what it's like. You have sinned. You've got caught. You've had to deal with guilt. And you have to come and bear your sins maybe to a spouse or to a friend or somebody. Have you ever had that experience? I don't like sinning because I have to do these things. I don't like doing these things. Folks, when we sin, we have to confess our sins, not only to God, but we have to make it right between our brothers and sisters, don't we? That's an awful experience. That's enough to keep me from ever wanting anything to do with it. But folks, I want to tell you, I mess up. Now, here's this woman. She is wondering, what woman snitched? Who was it that went and told this man all about me? Oh, wow. Can you feel? I can see the sweat, the sweat that's kind of, is now on her brow, maybe running down her neck, down her back. Go, Jesus says. Tell your husband. She really feels under the gun. Look what she tries to do now. She tries to wiggle away from this thing. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She's trying to change the subject. She don't want to talk about her and her husband. She don't want to talk about relationships. She thought that Jesus says she has five husbands, and the one you're with now is not even your husband. For some reason or other, this lady thought that you could find happiness in marriage, and you have to give her credit. She wasn't willing to give up. She was willing to try and try again. The one thing that she desired was happiness. She wanted to experience that utopia. And that's what we all want to experience, even today, isn't it? We want something better than the grind. Go to work, come home, eat supper, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, eat supper, go to bed, come home, go to work, eat supper. Boring, isn't it? Aren't you glad for the Sabbath? Folks, you don't have to wash the car, you don't have to do the windows. You can forget about the honey to-do list on the Sabbath. God knew what we needed. So this woman, these sins were laid bare and they were hurting her. And she was trying to find joy and happiness in materialism and things. But Jesus wanted to give her this good stuff. So she tries to change the subject. And look what Jesus done. Verse 21, Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And folks, there's a lesson for us to learn today. It's not where you worship that's important. It's not how you worship is important. It is who you worship that is important. Jesus has her on the hook. Verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he cometh, he will tell us all things. And then Jesus grabs her. Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. There's very few people in Israel that Jesus told that to. His disciples knew that he was the Messiah, but very few others. Nicodemus, maybe, who was that other Pharisee? Joseph of Arimathea. Very few people knew that he was the Messiah. But he told this woman. Now look what happens. This woman, finds Jesus, and all of a sudden her sins now are laid bare, and he forgives her. The burdens roll away. Folks, whatever is robbing you of joy and happiness, confess it to Jesus. It's a whole lot lighter. You can skip down the street with joy in your heart. When there's no sin, you don't have that burden to carry around. Now, the dynamics change some. The disciples come back from town and they see Jesus talking with this woman. But for some reason or other, they didn't say anything. The woman quietly left. The disciples begin to talk with Jesus now and says, "Well, have you had anything to eat?" Maybe thinking that somebody had already fed him. And Jesus was on to tell them, "You don't understand. I don't, the meat that I have is not important. I've come to do, let me read it to you. Jesus in verse 34, "Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish the work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he and the sower and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors." Folks, we have a work to do, and we want to be like this woman. I'm going to conclude just a couple of more verses. Now look what happens to this woman. She goes into town, and the first man she meets, she says, "I've found the man. He's told me everything that I ever did. Come and meet him." She went through town inviting the people to come to meet Jesus. And many of the Samaritans in the city believed that... I've gone down too far. Just a second. There's the woman. "The woman left with her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come and see a man, verse 29, which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? They went out of the city and came unto him." And down in verse 39 it says, "And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him, for the saying of the women which testified, he told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And he said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard them ourselves, and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world." The woman, she came in contact with Jesus, and when she had that personal relationship with him, she could not contain herself. She had to go immediately and witness, "Come and see someone who told me all that I ever did. Someone who has forgiven my sins and made me free." No longer is she an outcast in the town. The men respected her. They came. And when they found Jesus, they invited him to stay 2 days, and he taught them. Oh, folks, listen to me. We come to church on Sabbath morning to worship. It's not where we worship or how we worship, it's who we worship. And we do it with spirit and truth. It's not the pageantry, it's not the order of service that makes a difference. It has something to do with our attitude. It's nothing to do with the preacher. Folks, if you go away and say that the preacher did an awful job this morning. You have missed the point. You came to worship God, not to listen to the preacher. Now, worship is a part of listening to Him, I guess. But I don't care who is the speaker. If we come with the right attitude, we will find something that we can take away and rejoice. Oh, folks, we love Jesus, don't we? We have a message to tell, don't we? Let us not be so burdened down with the cares of this old world that we would forget about Jesus and the work that He has called us to do. Let us be like that Samaritan woman. Let us go out and tell others. Let us bring them to Jesus. That's my prayer, and that's the message I find in John chapter 4. May God bless you today. Amen.